and how divine. This song of ours will rise. Oh, how constant, how divine. This love of ours will rise. Will rise.
Good morning. I know I don't want to interrupt everyone, you know, but I'm glad our hearts are lifted and we're communicating with one another. But before we begin our time of worship, let's bow our heads and soften our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, this time to gather together, to lift your name up so high because you deserve it. At this moment, we ask that we be at peace, that we are able to come at your feet, laying down our burdens and just having a concept of what it means to be a true Christian and what it means to lift your name up. At this moment, we want to give you all the thanks that we can. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. All right, let us stand and join in singing, "Your Grace is Enough." I was thinking about, you know, just the weather. How good is it to feel the sun again, you know? And I was thinking about the seasons. How we alter our lives according to them. But you know, we shouldn't alter our worship. Just because it's cold out doesn't mean I'm going to take a break from God. Or just because it's starting to warm up, oh, I should do more for God. No, in fact, you should be always trying to do more for God. Your worship isn't seasonal. Let us continue by singing, "Blessed be your name."
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Stop to think about all the blessings that we have. I mean, do you actually turn them all back to him? There are people in third world countries who still find reasons to say thank you, God, to lift his name up. So can't we find it very easy to do the same? Yet all the while, we still focus on the negatives. We still ask, and we still desire for things that probably aren't good desires. So think about just the ways that you are failing to praise God. And let's join and sing "Overcome."
Thank you.
God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours.
Most merciful God, we've come before you, giving you thanks, praising you and lifting your name up so high, all because you deserve it, all because we can. In this moment, we do ask that our hearts and our ears are open to hear the truth spoken, and that the concepts delivered, that they are able to mold our lives so that we may fit the image of what it is to be a Christian. And hearing that, going out and spreading the love and spreading the word and spreading the truth. And all this we do pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward, and she has a Vacation Bible School update, and so we're going to get an update on where things are at with VBS. And so, Rachel, won't you share?
Well, first, I have an awesome praise. So last year, we started the project board out there in the sanctuary. And this year, we have, I have not done them. But we've done 23 projects off that board. So praise God. Thank you, everyone, for doing those. Because although not all of you guys can come to decorating, that helps us move things much quicker through our decorating time. So thank you for doing that. And also, I just wanted to remind everyone at all who is... anyone who's helping with Vacation Bible School, training is for you today. So if you've helped in the past, if this is your first year, both ways, just come be a part of that, and that starts at 11:45 today. If for whatever reason you cannot make it today, I'm going to be able to offer it just one more time, and that's this Thursday at 7. So.
Okay, and then just one last quick announcement. Rachel shared with me that we are still in need of like 5 to 10 more people to help, and so if you are here and if you are feeling the Spirit of God saying, you know what, there are some things that I could do for Vacation Bible School to reach out to minister unto the kids, and I'm going to get this other mic. Go. I got nothing, Matt. How about that? Okay. All right. Basically, so if God's Spirit is leading you to be involved with Vacation Bible School, we are still in need of about 5 to 10 more people. And please see Rachel after the worship service gets signed up. And we would love to have you be a part of that. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I can't teach, I can't do that, we are in need of crew leaders, and simply all a crew leader does is it oversees the groups, and they lead the children from one station to the next. And friends, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. And so see Rachel if you are interested in that, if the Spirit of God is leading you. And so also on the bulletin insert, make note of the other announcements, and as the Lord leads, may you be involved. We have two big announcements here. The first one, it deals with our very own Greg Miller, and he has been appointed to the United Methodist Church in Genoa. Now, check out the name, Trinity United Methodist Church. So Greg will still be serving Trinity United Methodist Church, just in a different context. He will start July 1st. And mark this on your calendar, on June the 24th, we will be having a time, a celebration to surround him, send him off, pray over him, and to support him as God leads him. And friends, that's exactly what God does. He moves people around, and as Greg is going out to be the ambassador for the love of Christ in that area, we have with us this morning Avery Lynn Othenwright. And so Avery, if you would come forward. And she is our new associate lay minister. Now, I'm just going to explain something here. Don't get stuck on the terminology. I know that it was put out there as associate pastor, but bishops have to appoint pastors. And so we've talked about this. We are looking for nothing less than a shepherd, than a pastor, and we fully expect Avery to, do just that. And so Avery comes from West Independence United Methodist Church, and I'm going to turn it over to you, and if you would just introduce yourself and share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Avery. I'm really excited to be here. So I know that I am brand new to all of you, so I'll give you the rundown starting at age 0. I was born and raised in Springfield, Ohio, which is quite a bit south, but I'll tell you the weather is pretty much the same, so don't be jealous. It's not any warmer in the winter at all. I have an older sister, I have a younger brother. We were raised in the United Methodist Church, specifically near New Carlisle, Medway United Methodist, in case you're ever down there. My parents set a great example for all of us as being super involved in the church, very active, and they just set such a wonderful role model for us in how to dedicate your whole life to the Lord. I was called to ministry at the ripe old age of 13, and I would love to share that story with you another time, a little too long for this morning. But ever since then, God has been so active in my life, preparing me with experiences and successes and failures and teaching me so much and making me into the person that he designed me to be. I attended Malone University and got my bachelor's in Bible and theology, and then I'm also currently attending seminary online. So that's been part of my journey as well. At Malone, I also met my husband, Michael, who I know you guys will meet here pretty soon. He is also called to ministry, and so he is still serving at West Independence in Findlay as their youth director. And so we are entering kind of a new era here, but we both knew we were called to ministry when we got married, so we knew what we were getting into. We knew what we were signing up for. So Michael is so excited about this opportunity, and we have been waiting and praying for this opportunity for such a long time. So yes, I'm Avery. I have a lot of ideas, way too much enthusiasm, and I can't wait to start this journey with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery.
Why don't we just take a moment, and I want to pray for Greg and pray for Avery as they enter into this new season. So Greg, if you would mind, come join us up here, if you would. And so I know that I said the 24th, but none of us can ever use too much prayer. Amen? So if you guys want to stand up here, and then as you are comfortable, just extend your hands and just where you're seated. And so if you guys want to just face the congregation, that would be great. And then let's pray. Let's go before the Lord. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, and we thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you that you send us all, and Lord, you send us to different areas for different reasons, reasons that we don't even understand, reasons that we don't even know. So, Lord, we thank you for Greg. We thank you for his heart and for his desire to reflect your love to those in Genoa. We thank you for that. We pray that you would go before him and grant him your favor and uplift him and strengthen his very soul, that you would just bless his ministry and bless it indeed. You would enlarge his territory, and, Lord, you would keep your hand upon him that he might be kept from evil. And so, Lord, we thank you for him. And Jesus, we thank you. As you send Greg out, we thank you for bringing Avery here. And we praise you for her. And we pray that you would strengthen her as well, that you would honor her, and that you would bless her ministry as well. And so, Lord, that you would encourage her and uplift her and surround her with your love as she is, as Greg is, an ambassador for your love and truth. So we praise you, O God, for these two servants of yours. And we pray that they would have God's speed with them as they go about their each and every day. We love you and thank you. In the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen. So after service, congratulate Greg, introduce yourself to Avery, and, you know, just, I mean, God has a plan. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and dismiss Children's Church. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and we are going to turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
This is a reading from Genesis chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. This is the word of God. At this time, will the ushers please come forward to receive the gifts and offerings?
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, bless them, and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're starting a new series about the life of Joseph, and if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11, you will be able to begin to see the story of Joseph. Now, one thing that you need to understand is that Joseph was destined for greatness. God had chosen him to become the prime minister of Egypt and to lead a people group through a desperate time of famine and difficulty. But before Joseph could be risen and placed as the prime minister, I want you to hear the one truth that is still true for you and for me. And it's this truth, that before God can work through your life, he must work in your life. I'll say it a different way. Before God can work through you, he must work in you. Before God works through your life in this world, he must work in your heart. God must work in your heart before he can work through you. Please hear that. Because many times, as Joseph was, we pick up the story when he was 17 years old. 17 years old. And friends, I don't know about you, but I think we all want to be chosen. Every single one of us, we want to be chosen. It doesn't matter if we want to be chosen for a sports team, if we want to be chosen for, you know, the academic All-American team, the quiz team. It doesn't matter what it is. Innately, we all desire to be chosen. I can remember when I was in junior high and high school when, you know, we went to gym class, and inevitably, I was always one of the last to be chosen. Now, many of you know that I played college football for 4 years. I was a four-year letterman, and so I saw the field. You know, it wasn't like I was sitting on the bench. I saw the field. Now, granted, our teams weren't that good. However, I was still playing. So maybe I was not that good, but at the same time, I felt like I had some sort of skill, some sort of ability, some sort of raw talent that could be applied. And the difficulties that I had were the stature, I couldn't change that. I had the passion, I had the heart. And friends, what we're going to see in the life of Joseph over the next several weeks is we're going to see that before God works through you, he must work in your heart. Now, we heard about the story when he was 17, and he went out to the fields to check up on his brothers, and the text even tells that he told bad reports to his father. And so you have this whole sense of sibling rivalry going on, and you have him being the favorite, him being the chosen. His dad had given him the coat of many colors. His dad had esteemed him as the beloved one because of one reason and one reason only, and that was because of his mom. You see, if you trace the story backwards, you can see the reasons why. But I'm here to tell you that Joseph suffered from a problem. And it's the same problem that you and I suffer from, and it's called sin. It's called the woundedness that all of us, no matter how good our parents are, no matter how good they seek to raise us and to parent us, all of them, friends, leave us all wounded to some certain extent. They all leave us hurt because they're fallible. Even at their best, they are not perfect. There are mistakes that are made. There are things that are said. There are occurrences that you have to work through and travel through that will leave you and me wounded. The wounding that Joseph experienced was called favoritism. It was called favoritism, and he even was suffering because of his dad's favorite being his mom's favorite. And his mom led his dad to trick his father into stealing the birthright from Esau. And so it's no accident how sin and woundedness gets passed down and down and down and down. And in a few moments, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. We're going to meet around the table of love. You see, the problem that Joseph had was sin, and it was the same problem that you and I have. It's the separation, it's the division, it's the sin that comes between you and me and a holy God. It's called wounds. It's called pain. But make no bones about it, before God can use you, he must work in you. You see, Jesus had to come, and as many times he had to come on this earth and he had to minister to you and to me, he had to lay down his life to solve the sin problem, to solve the issue that you and I have. And that was separation from a holy God. That was separation in a desperate condition. You see, Jesus, he was perfect, still is. He was the only acceptable sacrifice. And he had that woundedness too. Make sure you hear this. You see, Mary and Joseph, his mom and dad, Joseph disappears. We don't know whatever happened to him. He's about his father's business, and his mom is scolding him for teaching in a synagogue. Woundedness, friends. There's a woundedness that takes place, and Jesus was even wounded so far that his own people, Israel, his own people, you and me, we put him on that cross. It's out of that woundedness that you and I minister, if and only if we allow God to work in our heart first. You see, the problem is sin, but I want you to understand the purpose. You see, many of us, we will stop with the problem and we won't go beyond that. And we will say, yeah, but I have this and I have this struggle and this happened to me and that took place. And friends, I'm imploring you all to get beyond that. Because if you get stuck there, then the sin takes reign over your very being and then you become bitter and resentful and angry. However, if you look at it from God's purpose, over the next several weeks, we're going to see a 17-year-old boy who eventually was sold into slavery. He was eventually risen to prominence in Potiphar's household, and yet he was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. He suffered uncountable hardships and difficulties. Why? Because God had a purpose, and God had to work in his heart before he could appoint him as prime minister so that he would rule in a just manner. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that things that happen to people are right, because they're not. I'm not going to tell you that the injustices of the world are God's will, because they are not. But what I will tell you and implore you all is to remember Romans 8:28. It says, God works through all things for the greater glory of good, according to the purposes of those who love him. You see, you and I, we have a choice to remain in that wounded state, or have a choice to allow God to transform that woundedness for his purpose and for his glory. We all have that choice each and every day. We have that choice to say, nope, I'm going to cry in my own soup. I'm going to cry in my own drink. And woe is me. I'm going to wallow in my own sorrow. Or we can simply turn to God and say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand this, but praise be to God. Take it, use it, teach me through it. May you receive all the honor and the glory because of it. And when you do that, friends, you will begin to live the purpose that God has for you in this life. Because when God works in your heart, then and only then can he work through you in this life. You see, Jesus, he was driven out into the wilderness for 40 days. God had to work in his heart. He had to submit fully to the risen, holy God, God the Father. You see, Jesus had to be broken beyond. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to sweat drops of blood because he had to be allowing God to work in his life so that he could fully use him. You see, we offer and serve a servant and a Savior that understands exactly what we go through. So the choice is ours. Remain in the woundedness, or to allow God to transform our wounds for his purpose. And like I said, there are things in this world that take place that I don't understand why. There are things in this place, in this world, that make me angry. The injustices. And so please do not hear that I am overlooking those things, but please hear this. That God can take anything and he can restore what the locusts have eaten. He can take out of ashes and bring beauty. And he wants to do that. Won't you just let him? Won't you let him transform your woundedness into the beautification that only comes from a holy God, a risen Savior? Won't you let him this day? Won't you choose to move from a wounded state to having a purpose that God has for you? Won't you choose to allow God to work in your heart so he can work through your heart in this world? Friends, I'm here to tell you, the comparison is nothing to be compared. God has a plan, and he wants to use you. He has a plan for you. And in fact, sometimes even when it doesn't feel like we've been chosen, God has chosen us for something far greater than what we would even understand. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Joseph and the account that is found in the book of Genesis. Lord, we thank you for the wounds that have come our way. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, that you were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for our iniquities. We thank you, O Christ, because of those and by your stripes we are healed. We thank you, O Lord, for the suffering that you went through, O God. May you give us the courage to move from the being wallowing in our woundedness, and may you move us to allow you to fulfill your purpose in our life. Lord, we thank you for this time of Holy Communion. We thank you, O Christ, for the bread and for the cup. And we pray that you would bless the bread and bless the cup, that you would be found in them and among them and in us. We bless you, O now, O Jesus. We praise you and we honor you. We commit this time of Holy Communion unto you. In the holy name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. This morning, if you are visiting with us, we have an open communion, and we do not require that you be members. And so we invite all of you to come forward. We will partake of Holy Communion right up here up front, and you will take a piece of bread, and you will dip it in the juice, and partake of the elements up front, and then depart on either side and return back to your seat. And so as we meet around the Lord's table, as the Holy Spirit leads you, won't you please come? here at Trinity to take up a benevolent offering after we partake in Holy Communion. And so if the ushers would please come, this will go to Trinity Care for those who are visiting. And Trinity Care is a ministry that helps those who are in need with utility bills and rent and food. And we start with our congregation first, and then we move out into the community seeking to assist those who are in need. And so if the ushers would please come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to meet around your table and to give back to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. Lord, we praise you and honor you. We bless you for this time of Holy Communion. And Heavenly Jesus, may you be glorified through how you will work in our life and work through us. We bless you now, and we thank you in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. As we conclude this time of praise and worship here this morning, if you would please stand and join with us as we sing Consuming Fire.
Flame, a passion.
as we close here this morning, please take time to congratulate Greg and introduce yourself to Avery. And friends, may you and I remember that God needs to work in your heart before he can work through your life. And may you set apart time this week to meet with the living Lord God, that he might minister unto your heart, mind, and soul, and reading his word and praying unto him. And may you be found obedient in sharing his love in whatever ways that he leads you to. And so, Trinity United Methodist Church, you are sent to be agents of the love of God in this world. Amen.
Take me deep.